Jessica Clements, the legislative director of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, and Congress back at it officially today. A lot of folks coming in yesterday being sworn in. And so Tuesday is workday number one, essentially, for the 114th Congress, Jess. As you get back at it, what is the message that you'll be taking, especially to the new members of Congress, be aware of what's going on in the community before?
Hey, Francis, thanks so much for having me. You pretty much summed up our plan going into the 114th Congress. A lot of new members and even folks who have been there for, you know, even just one term, still I don't think have a good handle on who federal employees are, what they do, and maybe even what they do in their districts and states. So that's going to be the priority number one for NARF, educating these new members of Congress.
As the education process begins, what are the specifics that you take to these members to say, here's what they do, or here are the things that have gone on in the past, or whatever? What do they hear from you when you go up there, Jess?
We've compiled a list of state-specific information regarding federal employees and retirees, the biggest agencies they work for in each state, and what they do at those agencies. I think the government shutdown and sequestration combined, if nothing else, really shed a light on the important role federal employees play in their communities. But I think it's always important to drive that point home, especially as there was talk of another government shutdown right before we all left for Christmas. I think because it's not fresh anymore, members of Congress forgot a little bit who these federal employees are. So we've compiled these what we call state-specific toolkits that we take with us to the offices that we meet with. And we also use it as an opportunity to tell them, particularly, you know, these incoming freshmen, the sacrifices federal employees have already made to the tune of $120 billion over the last 3 years.
As the education process continues throughout the 114th Congress, Jesse, what are the issues that we've talked about before that have potential to come back? And what are any, if any, potentially new ones that we should be paying attention to?
I thought you were going to ask me which ones have come off the table, and then I was going to laugh.
That's why I didn't ask that question. I knew you'd laugh at me if I did.
I think the number one issue that we're watching for as this new Congress gets underway, my personal feelings on it, is going to be an increase in retirement contributions for current federal employees. I'm sure most of your listeners know that retirement contributions were increased for future Feds twice, both in 2013 and again in 2014. I think the current federal employees, as it relates to their retirement contributions, particularly the FERS employees, are probably going to be target number one in the budget process.
You thought I was going to ask you what's coming off the table. The reality is it's probably never going to happen that any of these issues come off the table. As each one is resolved, maybe then we'll know. But until then, I imagine each of these will stay in the pot and potentially be there to chew on.
I agree. And I think the thing is, too, is that we focus a lot on the budget. And, of course, with one party controlling both chambers of Congress, budget reconciliation is a greater likelihood. That has to be mandatory spending, which is why we go to the retirement contributions. It's kind of the only piece of mandatory spending that our committee of jurisdiction has that it could turn to for budget reconciliation, in addition to some few, you know, smaller things, but this is the biggie. But and the budget focus, which is, you know, where we are going to be focused for the first few months of this session, can't take away from all the other possibilities, meaning, you know, piece of legislation is moving through the House. They need to find an offset. Where are they going to go? The first place they're going to look is federal employees. It's always been the first place for the last several years. I don't see that slowing down anytime soon. So while we are concerned what could happen in the budget process, these smaller bills that need to be paid for could also be paid for by federal employees.
So I understand all of those concerns, and I think they all are perfectly logical and make sense. I wonder if there maybe isn't a silver lining in the idea that the budget is going to be so intensely focused on at the beginning of this Congress, because I think it's fair to say that for the last several years, it hasn't been, at least as far as the serious get down to business work. And
right.
that's contributed a lot to the uncertainty that we've seen over the last several years. If that uncertainty goes away in spring or early summer this year, instead of going away in September, October, November, December, or into the following year, as it has in the past several years, that part at least seems to me beneficial to the average rank-and-file federal employee. At least one knows where one is headed and where one's workplace is headed for the foreseeable future, rather than sitting around wondering when this or that shoe will drop.
I agree with you to a certain extent. The budget process, yes, even if they go to reconciliation, should be wrapped by mid to late June, if all goes according to plan. So if something happens in the budget process that feds we'll have to know about in the future that will negatively impact them, yes, we will know in the first few months of 2015. However, appropriations still has to do their job. And we, just because the budget may finish up by June, is not an indication that appropriations are going to have all 12 bills done by September 30th, and we're not back here once again worried about a government shutdown. We had a two-year budget deal that passed at the end of 2013 for FY 14 and 15, and it still took a continuing resolution at the beginning of FY 15 before we had the rest of the year's funding. I am not optimistic that we can get appropriations bills done in a timely manner, even if we do get the budget done in a timely manner.
Jessica Clement of NARF is my guest, and I know that you know that I'm a cynical son of a gun, but here again, I'm not sure this is all entirely bad, because if the budget people do what they're supposed to do, and that's all in place by, say, let's say July, we'll be a little optimistic, okay, say July, that still gives you a window to work with on the appropriators and try to change the way some of that those budget lines read if they really impact federal employees dramatically before the appropriations bills are passed that actually push the money one direction or another. Is that fair to say?
It does and it does not. If we get to a point of budget reconciliation, that is a bill that the president will sign into law. And it includes, and it's mandatory spending, whereas appropriations focuses more on the discretionary spending. So if we get to the point of budget reconciliation, House and Senate agree to a budget reconciliation package, the Affordable Care Act passed several years ago, because it only requires a majority vote in the Senate, not the 60-vote threshold, then the president's going to be faced with a very, very difficult decision to make, depending on what's in that bill. If it is acceptable enough to him that, you know, shows some compromises from both sides of the aisle, that bill becomes law. Federal employees are now paying more for their retirement contributions. That is not something, I mean, we'd have to fix it, but probably we'd work to change it, but probably not in the appropriations process.